Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Naked Soma's riff on this. I believe we are flying in the air. It says on the air. I am Dr. Mark Filippi, and I am able to join by Professor Valerie Schott, who is mashugana right now in her apartment.
What's
over
the dog
there
barking?
In Silver Lake. Dogs barking, computers crashing. It's just a typical Wednesday.
I have a button. Should we try it?
Yeah, why not? See what happens.
All right, ready?
The experiment continues. Go. Ooh.
All right, we're here.
That was it?
It worked.
That was it? That the whole theme song?
No, there's more on there. I didn't want to hear it.
Oh. Okay, well, so much for formality. So here we are. Jesus, you can't get two people more unwilling to do anything constructive right now than the two of us.
Well, wait till
really
the other one pops in.
Well, yeah, when he finishes his duties. Is that him now?
I don't know. Jeb, are you here?
I heard something. Is that Jeb?
Probably just my intestines.
Yeah, okay. Well, the dial-in number, if you want to join this conversation from hell, is 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. So what is this thing, this riff on this show? It's really kind of a vent that we get to do each week on Wednesday nights from our perspective. And we want you guys to join in, of course, and mix around because it is a feedback-driven situation. And what we're talking about tonight, if I can just root around here on my desktop, is one perspective that is being featured this week in the cosmos, which is called eco. And the eco perspective is an emotional one. If you're feeling a little drained today, if you've had a week of ups and downs, and not only drama, but a lot of karma going on, like this stuff not working out, you have been bitten by the eco bug.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the two people talking now are biting and being bit back. So it's ending tomorrow, thank God. The last day of the cycle is tomorrow, and then we get into some other stuff, which we'll talk about towards the end of the show. But for the 1 hour we have together here, we're going to be going over what's called eco-subversions. So there's some certain furzives, some people out there in the community that operate from this perspective. And really what it is that when you're an eco, it's almost like you're a wise fool. Because in a way, you still have that teen angst going on. You still have that sense of sort of like very intense emotions going on. But you also know that nobody's clean. Nobody's pure. Everybody's got secrets. Everyone has human frailties. And the eco, unlike all the other domains, embraces this human quality of people. And they also celebrate it to the point where they usually get themselves into a lot of trouble. So this is one of those things where 3 years old, growing up, you try to see, well, what happens when I put my hand on the hot stove? What happens when I put this my finger in the outlet and get shocked? You know, it's that type of exploration that you're not just doing it in thought like Ananto does in their head, which is another perspective we talked about the last two shows, and you could listen to them play back on the nakedsoma.blogspot.com, our blog over there. We had the last couple shows up there. We've been talking about another perspective. We're going to go over all four, but this week we're focusing on the eco. And when you experiment with the world, which is what the eco does, rather than with the introspective self, which is what the Anto does, hilarity usually begins. Because we don't know all the natural laws. We find them by failing. You know, ride a bike, discover gravity, that kind of thing. And that's why when the eco ventures out onto the emotional terrain, They're not expecting a smooth ride, but when they get the bumps, just like everybody else, they get to bitch and complain. So one of the things that kind of like folded over this week really nicely during the Eco Week was that we had the Pizza Connection arrests last couple of days down there in Jersey, and we had this viral video that surfaced that we put on the blog that was discussing September 11th. So I'm going to take a listen to that and see what you guys think when we come back, comparing what this guy's doing to get information out of people and that event, and see how we can echo this across. So I'm going to get this going here. And this is usually the height of the show when I try to get something to play on my website, on my computer. And again, if I disappear, just stay in the room, please.
Sure, no problem.
That was Ravel.
We're here at the San Diego Job Fair at San Diego State, and there's some military folks here, so we're going to go find out how their recruiting efforts are doing. How's recruiting cannon fodder for the war coming along today?
You guys got any questions about officer programs?
What year did the September 11th attacks happen?
I don't know.
2001.
Doesn't know. Doesn't know. We're in trouble. What year were the September 11th attacks?
2000.
What year were the September 11th attacks?
What year? It was attacking. That's a good question. Oh, who?
Okay. Have you seen Loose Change? The film?
Not much, actually. Not much.
You haven't seen Loose Change, the film?
I guess a little bit of change, but, I mean, as far as, like, you know, everything's kind of back to normal, you know.
What year did the September 11th attacks happen?
What year? 2003.
And what year did the September 11th attacks happen?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I have to go to class.
1997, maybe.
Doesn't that concern you that you don't know? Not really, they say. Hey, what year did the 9/11 attacks happen?
2001.
Fantastic. You win a free DVD of 9/11 Truth. We've spotted the professor that I talked to last time I was here that agreed 9/11 is an inside job. So we're going to see how he's come along with his 9/11 studies. Professor.
Yes.
We're wondering how you've come along in your 9/11 investigation.
Oh, it's very disturbing what we found, but I don't know if the public's ready for it.
I'll take a break from that because it's pretty clear what's going on there. So what I want to get is we're going to bounce that right into our first caller here, if I can find where the heck I put that on the bar.
Bear with us. We are Eco.
Yes. Okay. Now, let's see. All right. Looks like we've got two callers here. All right, so let's go to our first caller. And you're on the air. Go ahead. What's your name?
Hello.
Yeah. Gina. What's your name?
It's Gina. Hey.
Hey, Gina.
Hey. Gina.
Hey.
No. So, did you get a chance to listen to what we just played there?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah. Now, you know, living here on the East Coast, it's one of those things where we're very in touch with anything September 11th related, sometimes directly. And when you hear that, this is all the way out in San Diego on some college campus. How does that make you feel?
Pretty disgusted, especially since I live in the city. So.
Yeah, you live in New York City
home.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
now,
horrible.
Emotions are. I just want to get into the feeling that comes up is disgust. You said.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's something I want to get to as we get a little deeper into this. The eco world is the world of the dry heave emotionally, okay? You've already had the anger from the Onto level. You've already had the disturbing fear that the Philo gets. When you finally get the Eco, it's already gone Technicolor. It's already gone, you know, thermonuclear. And now you're smoldering. Now you're in that, like when the kid cries, the three-year-old cries, and they go, and they can't kind of stop. That's when the emotions just have really just flooded the system. And when you think about something as visceral as 9/11, you know, all these years later, especially in light of the fact, you know, we just did that Pizza Connection arrest yesterday or the day before
in
Jersey. We're still in the grip of this thing, and it's almost like we get to forget it, and then when we get reminded, it's almost like a doubles hit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you had someone that was involved in that. So what, did you have a question for us? You just wanted to kind of just see if the phone worked.
You wanted to say, hey. We love the show.
Yeah.
Hey, who else is there with you?
Sam's here with me.
So one of the things that we know about Gina, Gina is one of Rest of Our students and is now an alumni of her school.
As a 450 tomorrow alumni.
Well, all right. Well, we'll make it official, but you're out the class. And one of the things that that I learned from hanging around Gina is that the other domains, and Gina would be, let's just register her as a card-carrying onto.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just a little onto. She's just a little onto. When they speak their truth compared to an eco, it's not so much that it's coming at you any less emotionally. It's just coming at you in a more concentrated, intense way because what they're saying is not debatable. Where an eco, they speak with forked tongue. They understand they cannot speak a complete truth. Ontos don't. So especially when Gina recently suffered an injury. How's that doing, by the way? How's the ankle doing?
It's doing good.
Okay. Now, when you had to communicate what was going on with your injury to the array of phylos around you, did you notice the gap between what you said and what they understood got wider?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, between the nurse looking up housing listings online and telling me just to ice it, and then I have the x-ray tech tell me that it's broken. Yeah, definitely a miscommunication on their part.
All right, well, you know, that's one of the things we want to talk about as we go through the layers today about these different perspectives is that when an onto is injured, their field, everything around them, contracts because they're very into their own physiology. So it's almost like the chain fall off the bike. So their capacity for, well, let's just say, phylo tolerance goes off the chart. They can't deal with stupidity on a clear day, especially when they're hurt. Forget it. So that's why when you deal with something so over the top as what we just listened to with this campus situation, the outrage that comes up in the onto to right the ship is pretty intense. Where an eco, it doesn't ever get there. It kind of smolders and they get distracted by something else, and you know, it's sort of that kind of swampy water kind of a thing. So it's a little different affect. So I just wanted to get that across from what you've experienced. So all right, Gina, thanks for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the show, and we can somehow see if we can master the controls up here. And
yeah, we're getting there.
And, you know,
yeah, good luck.
Try and listen again next week.
Thanks,
and,
Gina.
And one more thing. Sean.
Sean.
Sean, I'm not leaving.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi.
Okay, we got another caller here. Let's see. If I can, the thing would stay still. Okay, you're seemingly on the air.
Hello.
Okay, who's this?
Samantha.
Hey, Sam.
Oh, hey, Sam. Oh, wow.
Hey, Gina.
Like a roll call tonight. Okay, so did you tune in to listen to what we just played, or did you just call in now to see if the phone works, too?
No, I'm just sitting here with Gina. I was listening to the conversation.
Oh, Jesus, you handed...
I thought there was no love for the phylos.
Well, no, we're going to get to the phylos when it gets to be their moon week, but, you know, you got to realize these four perspectives, and we're going to give a five-minute little dissertation of that in a couple of seconds here as we get through these calls, is that it's not so much that the primary domains or these four different perspectives that we're talking about are so separated because everybody has the other three, you know, embedded in them. It's just one predominates. It's just like when you take the blue crayon and the yellow crayon and cross them over and get the green. It's the shade. It's how intense is that? And when you hear that much, I mean, did you hear all the phylos on that thing? He's talking to them and they're laughing. You know, they it's like they can't contain themselves. And not once did he encounter anyone that was negative toward him. There's another one on there that on YouTube when he's talking to Danny Bonaducci and Anta, which is hilarious. Because it's like again when you poke a hole in somebody's belief system like that, and that's really what that viral video was. He could talk about the apathy in the world, but if he demonstrates it like this, it's much more intense. So that's what, you know, that's what you got. So as a viral listening to that, who did you identify with? The guy asking the questions or the people that were stumped?
Okay, well, I wouldn't have responded like that.
Well, one,
I would be
cuddling.
Huh?
That's nervous laughter, but I'm just saying. How do you
I'm
handle
sorry,
it?
I
when,
can't hear
when
you.
You're...
I got Gina laughing at me in the background.
Oh, God. We are now in the final zone. She can't pay attention to one thing. It's just,
I'm
if you're stuck,
I'm a philo.
And you're on the stage like that and you get stuck, how do you, as a philo, how do you deal with it? Do you feel separate from the group? Do you just lose it like they did, or how do you deal with it?
I just act like a goofball.
Oh,
wait. Oh, hark, I hear a philo in the background. It's Dr. Jeb.
What?
Did you have an answer, Sam?
Wait, I'm confused now.
Did you have an answer?
To what you were asking before?
Yeah, what do you do when you get stuck like that, if you're basically, you know, kind of caught in the brain lock like that?
She does what she's doing right now.
Exactly.
I just like
okay.
Try to, you know, use up the time and just use that time to think, and yeah. I probably won't think of the answer until like 10 minutes later.
Oh,
and you
man.
Start getting, your upper lip starts getting sweaty, your back gets hot.
I'll just act like a goofball for the
sweat.
Time being.
Yeah.
Well, it's all the classic things of why people have a fear of public speaking and all that stuff. It's all philo. It's all, I'm part of the group, and all of a sudden I'm separate from the group. And it's a little bit like, you know, what happens when a baby gets separated from their mother. What goes out? The distress signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in somatics, when you hear someone laughing like that, that nervous laughter, that's a protective mechanism. That's basically laughing in the face of the fear. Laughing just because they're
hoping
that somebody
laughs.
It's not like
it,
there's anything. Yeah, nothing's funny. They just can't get their faculties together. So,
and that's what he kept saying. Is this funny? Is this funny?
Didn't momentarily feel funny.
Yeah, the ego was like, "This is funny." Yeah. So that's what got me was not so much about him, but the reactions he was getting were so over the top. It was just you knew something was going on below the surface there. And there's like a 9-minute version of that thing that you see even more of that stuff. So. So, all right, Sam, thanks for calling. Enjoy the show. And when Philo Week comes on, we'll get you on first.
Oh, of course.
Thanks, Sam.
All right.
Bye.
And congratulations again. Take
Bye.
Care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Ciao.
All right. Sean. Okay. All right, so just a round of introductions again here for a sec, because Dr. Jeb Thurman has just joined us from high atop the maple tree in New Hampshire. And have all the camels been put to bed up there, or?
Oh, not even close.
Not even close.
I'm right in the midst of it. So if I have to fade in, I may fade in and fade out. You may hear some nervous laughter because I got one, I won't even tell you what he's just finished doing, and now he's in the bath. And
it's that time of night up there in the Thurman household.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Time to purge and surge.
We are deep in the heart of Philoville.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. Well, like I said, we were talking a little about this. And now, you listened to that whole thing. You know, from the follow-up perspective, did you identify more with the speaker or the guy that was asking the questions or the reactions?
In that case, I was with him because I have such strong eco signatures that in a case like that where I'm, and plus I'm sort of sharing some of his philosophical bent.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I was really more identifying with him, although where he's feeling sort of, it's almost disdain. It's almost like it's like he's looking at it. I feel I'm split. I'm embarrassed for the person who it's happening to. So as much as I share some of his feelings, at the same time I'm such a strong philo also that I'm still feeling embarrassed. My upper lip's getting sweaty. You know, watching these kids, you know, fold up like cheap folding chairs there.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, for me, I stayed with the guy that was doing the questioning. I was walking through this little, you know, philo little minefield going, how could they not know, is the question I kept asking myself. I never put myself in their shoes. Deontos, that, you know, like we just had one that we just called in, you know, they got an emotional reaction to it. They got mad, you know. So it's like the philo can actually put themselves usually in the position of the person that's the most vulnerable in that equation. Now, you're going to go from perplexed from the guy, he's vulnerable, they're like, what? And then back to the person, oh, I feel bad that they got, you know, kind of caught. Jay Leno does that a lot on his show. He does that jaywalking stuff when he asks people on the street, like, historical questions and stuff, and they don't know, like, you know, what
yeah.
the third president is and stuff like that. And there's two layers to it. There's one layer is the actual information, and the other one is to be able to perform under pressure. And most people can't. Most people have difficulty doing that. And that's why it takes advantage of that stuff, you know, to... When you get people, especially on a question like 9/11, it becomes a, God, if I don't know this, then what does that say about me? And all the identity stuff, all the group stuff, I belong to this country, and all that stuff starts to come up to the surface. So you only get a couple, well, actually you get 4 seconds, and then after that, the conversation starts to drop to the floor.
You know, so it's a weird equation.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't get angry. I get, you know, what I get, like when he was going up to the military guys.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel there is I start to feel, I feel the anger coming off of those guys, and then I start getting like nervous as if what would I do in that position? I wouldn't even approach those guys like that. Where he's like fearless too, you know, and it's like you. I remember, you know, when you were asking for Maria Rodell's phone number and Visa card number. It's like, you're like, this guy, and I even asked him, like, are you kidding me? And you're like, hey, I don't have any problem asking for stuff. And it's like, you know, you don't get it, but you have no problem asking for it. Where I would never be in that position to say, yeah, well, you're going to throw us our credit card number, we'll reserve the room. It's like, you know, it's silly, but so when I'm watching,
it's actually pretty signature of these perspectives, because both Val and I we'll never hesitate to ask, even if the answer is horrible, even if the answer is the most vile truth you could possibly endure. We just want to know. We'd rather know than not know, and that's what drives the eco is this thirst for exploration. I'm not going to stay in the known world where I have all the answers. I know everything that's going on here. I want to go where I don't know anything.
Right.
And it's the curiosity killed the cat thing most of the time. I mean, we get slammed for it, but you know, that's why ecos are constantly put as being nonconformist, and I call them subversives, because they don't go with the herd. They're the ones that, you know, they're the Charlie in the box kind of a thing. The Charlie in the box. So we got another caller here. I'm just going to see if this is working.
Good.
Let's see. I don't know what happened there. Wait a minute. That's you. That's Val.
I'm here. You want to mute me?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I just did. All right, well, anyway, we got through the first 20 minutes of this thing without crashing the bus, so let me go back and reboot a little bit here and get back to where I was. Play a sound file or something, will you?
Well, maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
Play it louder, will you?
What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
You know how you tell a story. What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me what's
up. I can barely hear it.
I can barely hear it. You gotta play louder.
Well, you know what? There's a thing. It's this playback volume. It tells you to put it on 50% and
put it on 100.
See how it is. I just put it on 100. Would you like to play it again?
You play it again. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
All right. Let's do it again. Here we go.
All right.
Maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
You know how you tell a story. What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
How was that? A little louder?
That was better. Hey, if it goes 150%, even better. That was good.
All right, well, I'll set it at 150 for next time. Let's see.
Yeah, okay. 646-478-3347. Riff on This is the show. And we are Naked Soma.
We are.
The band with the hand, or whatever we call ourselves. I don't know. So let's see. Do we have anybody on the whole channel? Let's see. I'm going around the horn here, clicking away. This is interesting. This leads to nothing. Okay. All right. So moving on. we didn't get any responses to the blog entry this week because basically nobody knows we're here yet, but... what we do with this format is we want to put an entry in on Monday that is sort of a example of these four perspectives that we're talking about that are out there, that are running through your brains right now, whether you're aware of them or not. And they get they're kind of like time on the stage once a month. Right now we're in what's called Eco Week, or Eco Phase if you're getting a little technical, and it ends tomorrow. And then we go to EXO, which is always my favorite one because everybody gets suspicious. So this week, if you've been feeling a little empathic, a little like the pores of your skin, they're getting a little too much of the vibe of the person next to you, a little crowded on the old emotional elevator, you are in sync. You are with the flow. We have gone over the peak. We are now coming down the mountain, down the Matterhorn. So we're losing the gas. We're losing emotional intensity. We're losing neurophysiological intensity. And we're going back towards...
what we call the dark cycle in this work, and our bodies are and our lives are in repair. So everything you have in this lunar cycle, which started, you know, a couple weeks ago, everything that you've been experiencing is now, it's already peaked and it's starting to come down. So you're managing transition at this point, where before, on the other side of the full moon, you're preparing for transition. So it's sort of like Fonzie jumping the shark every month, you know? We're in the air. We're over the shark, and some of us have already fallen in the water and being devoured, like me and Val.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So what the heck is the number again? I had it here a second ago.
Let's see.
It is 646-478-4847. You're on Block Talk Radio, our inaugural show, trying not to bust the equipment too much. And we're going to be going over a couple of things related to what we started talking about. But let's just go around the horn and see if we can do some justice to these four perspectives we've been talking about.
I got something for you.
Yeah. But, well, we're just going to do like a little skinny on each one. So just as a philo, what is the philo perspective that you can give the audience kind of a 90-second kind of like primer on it?
Just being a philo?
Yeah, what does life as a philo mean?
Well, life as a philo is about, you know, you're looking to bond. You're looking to bond, and you're looking to bond to people and relationships. Really everything's tied up in that interpersonal relationship, you know, whether it's with a spouse or a loved one, whether it's with a child, whether it's just a person in the elevator. You know, so we're always trying to make that connection, and it can be, you know, I was just going to I'll give you kind of the two sides of it. Since we're talking ego, I'll give you the sort of contrast. Is I have pretty strong ego signatures, but I have this such a strong, you know, primary philo that I get conflicted a lot of times, because when I'm really on, whether it's in my office, the part of me that is sort of, you know, charismatic and attractive is that eco flair that I get when I'm really going and I'm uninhibited. But it takes me to places sometimes where then the philo starts to, that mortal coil starts to burn, and I start to get afraid, or get, you know, I'm getting too far out of the box, or I'm getting too far. And because as much as I'm finding this attractiveness, I'm being attracted to other people, I feel that some people look at me and they start to wonder, geez, why is he being like that? He's not being like he used to be. He's changing. So it becomes a real contradictory thing, and it's something I've worked with for my whole life. And until we started doing this work, you know, really, and starting understanding your work, it made it real clear that I have to just kind of ride that wave and be cognizant of it, and not, because it can stifle me. Because typically I'll cycle up, it'll be real eco, and that'll be good change. But it'll be then when I start to ramp down and come the other side and go back towards philo, there's just a mess behind me. And so whether it's in my practice or wherever it is, it's this real cyclical thing. So the philo perspective is just that in pure philo, you're so worried about every single relationship. You're so worried about what other people think. You're so worried about how you're viewed. You feel like nothing's ever good enough, and you're so aware of what other people are thinking at all times that it makes for very good caretakers, but we also can get really burnt out because that's the whole idea of undress your stress and having a naked or open soma is one that you're not always stuck in that one.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, like, you know, that's why one of the things I found this book about brain rhythms that Brother George actually shared with me last week. And one of the lines in the book is, sleep is the default state of the brain, which I wish I had that in high school. I would have got away with a lot more. And you think of a baby, what do they do most of the time? They sleep, right? Because it's draining to be in a bonding energy all the time when you wake up. It's you're constantly in need. A baby is in need both neurologically, biologically, all the levels. But when you select that, or when you experience that as your primary domain, if you get rejected, if you feel disconnected, if you feel like a relationship is not working smoothly, it is not only a rock in your shoe, it's a rock in your brain. It's like you can't get out of it.
It's
couldn't imagine. Yeah, it is
the end of the
world.
I mean,
can you function if you're in conflict? Like, if you're in conflict with someone at work, or a conflict with someone in your life, can you physically do your job without, like, a lot of, like, effort? Is there, like, spyware takes over?
I mean, Nora, and the funny thing is Nora sees it. You know, the minute I get, she calls
Nora's
me, I get cloudy.
Nora, what happens? You get cloudy, you
say? She says I get cloudy. The minute that we have an upset, she sees my eyes go dark. It's like this whole, it's this whole doom and gloom, and she senses my physiology change, and I know it's there too. And she, you know, it's like the classic thing, you know, or she'll be like, "So what, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And she's like, "Look, you're dark, you're a friggin' mess." I mean, she knows it immediately. My wife, by the way, is onto, so she's not pulling any punches, and she's certainly not going to, you know, she's not going to back off at all at that point.
Well, let's take a call here. See what we get on the line here. This is a new person here. Okay, you're on the air with Naked Soma. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Liz. How are you guys?
Hey, fellow Liz.
Liz.
All right.
Liz, yeah.
Let's have a talk about how I cried over a JCPenney commercial today.
All right, go ahead.
It's Mother's Day, and I'm really close to my mom, who also happens to be a Philo because I'm her carbon copy. And I love my mom. So I'm on this JCPenney commercial. It's a mom walking with her little girl, and they're walking along the street in the city, and like they pass a street lamp, and then she's going to kindergarten, and then she's a teenager, and soon enough mom's not walking behind her, and she's walking with a male friend, and then she turns around, she's got a little girl of her own, and her older mom comes to join, and I'm in tears. I'm like, I'm not a little girl anymore, I'm not my mommy's little girl. I'm freaking out over a JCPenney commercial. I was like, if this isn't a Philo moment, I don't know what is. I don't know.
You are too much.
It was terrible. And I called up an auto friend and was like, I'm crying over a JCPenney commercial, to which they laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was phenomenal.
The people that wrote that commercial, the people that wrote that commercial, they're probably really happy that you're crying.
I know.
I mean, they're sitting there counting the money. Every filer that cries during that thing means more money for them. It's a weird world that says, if I can emotionally... you know, manipulate you, even for a couple of minutes. The next time you see or think of JCPenney, you're going to relate that to your life, and then, of course, equal signs go both directions. You're walking into JCPenney sooner or later, you know, or you're buying the product some other way. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. A lot of this stuff, that the viral videos I just played a while ago and all the things that go on in the news that are always looking for your attention, you know, it when you hear negative news, let's just think of it that way, negative news that isn't related to your life, like, you know, the fire in California, something like that. As a Philo, do you put yourself on the scene? Are you there, like, you know, ravaging through the forest with the fire? Because as an eco, I have the experience. I'll hear crackling. I'll feel the heat. If I see a fire, I'm at a fire.
No, my first thought is, oh my God, these people's families. That would be my first thought is, oh my God, somebody just lost their son. Somebody just lost their daughter. So then, what do? I call up my mom. Just calling to tell you I love you because something horrible happened halfway across the world today, and it could have been me. Ridiculous. That's what I do because that's my first thought is, Jesus Christ, somebody just lost their family member or a loved one. I immediately sympathize with the people who have lost, which leaves me open to a lot of crying and a lot of sad movies, which is why the only movies I watch are comedies, because I've got too much empathy for a horror or a drama. Even though drama would seem like something that would be at home for me, I can't. If the movie's not going to make me laugh, I don't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting distinction. You're actually experiencing sympathy. You're actually identifying yourself at the same level of the people that are vulnerable. Where empathy would say, I can see your situation, and I literally, like Bill Clinton, I can feel your pain, but it's still your pain. I'm still okay over here. I'm going to help you. So an eco can actually put themselves in the shoes of the people experiencing it, but not feel the vulnerability. A Philo goes whole hog, and of course, in order to reestablish the status quo, goes, where's mom? You know, it's like, that's like a clinic you just gave. Oh, God.
Well, that would be too emotional for me. I wouldn't be able to handle that. If I had to visualize myself in the fire, sifting through rubble, and, like, you know, the heart pounding and the fear and whatever, I would not be able to deal with that. It would be emotional overload for me because I'm a flippin' Philo, and this is what I did.
Yeah, you are a flippin' Philo. My God, you are.
I'm so stereotypical, it's scary.
There's not an eco walking the earth that would not know the difference between being in a fire and identifying with a fire.
Yeah,
right.
A Philo, I don't know, 50-50.
No, it's pretty scary. Pretty scary.
we got a bunch of people on the line here. I don't know why, but maybe it's just the entire roster of Val's class calling in. We'll
thanks,
find out.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
You.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we got the next one up for bids. Please identify yourself. Hello? Anybody there?
No.
Right, I'll try this again. I'm trying it again. Okay, anybody there? Hello? This is all fascinating.
Hello?
You're on the radio.
Oh, there's somebody there. Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio down.
Can you hear
us? I always wanted to say that.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Dick.
Who are you?
Hello?
Oh, jeez, do you think you're Philo?
Quick, what year was 9/11?
What?
Oh, my God.
I can't.
Do you have a name, honey? Can you hear us? The phone is that thing you're holding in your hand.
We're standing outside a guy. There's like 10 people here all on the radio show right now.
Oh, my God. They're standing outside the dorm.
Charlie, Sam, Tamika. There's a whole bunch of people.
Shout out to my boys.
What up, guys?
All right, this is freaking me out. Do you have a question, a comment, or anything intelligent to say?
We just love the show, and we wanted to say hello.
All right, well, thanks for loving the show. Holy crap.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
We love you, too.
Oh, my God, I'm running my hair on fire. Right, can you play a sound thing or something?
I'm going to hang up now. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Hey, what's happening, Norm? The dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Uh-huh.
All right, looks like we lost the other caller, which is probably just from the same crowd. They're all sharing a cell phone out there, my God. Okay. So, let's see. So, in the aftermath of that... That Kansas tornado, there was a lot of interviews, if you guys saw, I don't know, with people that, you know, survived the tornado and were, you know, going through the rubble and all that. And it is remarkable when you see an eco who is more in awe of the tornado than what happened to their house. Should have seen it. It was like, you know, I'm going to search around, see if I can find this interview. But there's two ecos that... relate their entire story with absolutely no regard for the peril they went through or the destruction that happened around them. It was just a really neat storm, man. And it's not that ecos are tuned out, you know, to this. It's just that, and Val could do justice to this because she's actually in it this week. But ecos sit on a seesaw between hope for the future and despair.
Ugh.
And when we just sound file of that noise. That was authentic, right in the gut.
Matches my mood.
What? Play that one again. What was that?
All right, hang on. Here we go.
Does this black match?
Matches my mood.
That was from the cartoon Daria.
Okay. I didn't know the beginning part of it, but it just sounded funny. So between hope and despair is the experience you're having right now, and ecos live in a gray world. They don't live in black or white like Antos, and they don't live in black and white like Philos. So we have this oscillation going on. It never stops. It goes from light gray to dark gray, and when it gets lighter, we have hope, and when it gets darker, we have despair. It's literally just this cloud.
It's freaking exhausting.
Yes, and it reminds us that we have the other three domains to get the heck out of it when we're aware of it, but when we're not, despair in the air. So it's the pit of the stomach feeling. Now, if you've been going through that this week, it's been a very interesting week because we were in the second interface, so everything's about motivation. So like we were talking about last week, it's the four Fs, you know, fight, flight, feeding, and sex. We're very biologically driven this week, okay? So we're feeling the pheromones. It's got above 66 degrees here on the East Coast. So like I was telling clients all weekend, you know, love is in the air and the air is polluted. So all the peak emotions that come up around the fringes of what you would consider to be the boundary of your identity and then how you hook into other lives is going to come to the surface. And some of it comes in the form of conflict. Some of it comes in the form of reunion, or hope and despair. It's like a soap opera. And if your life hasn't been soap opera-like this week, then you haven't really been splashing in the eco tub much. Unlike, like I said, me and Val at the top, we are soaked to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad.
So while I'm searching for this little video here, just give us, you know, your take on how despair, you know, kind of came through, well, I guess it was like last Friday or so, at the beginning of Eco Week, and how you as an eco internally experienced it, when disappointment and then internal experience. So just kind of give people an eco vantage point of that.
All right. So Friday I get a phone call that the house that we're supposed to get falls through, and I'm dealing with an unscrupulous, vile person on the other end of the phone. So the first thing that hits me after my stomach turns into three knots is, oh, my God, I have to call my parents because they're actually buying the house. So I was actually sitting in your lobby at the time waiting for you, wasn't I? That's right. So I was I call my parents up, and I have to tell them the news, and then, you know, of course, they're upset. And what happens is I'm trying to keep myself focused. I'm trying to EXO, and I have an EXO in the house to emulate. And I'm saying, okay, well, just find another house. Don't worry, don't worry. And every day I'm going through the listings, and I'm sending out houses, and I'm saying, look, this one's not so bad, that one's not so bad, and none of them are passing muster. And I'm just getting more and more in this hole of despair, like you can't believe. Today, I couldn't find the card to go into a house to view it. We have these stupid freaking cards that we have to pay all this money for so we can get into a house to show the house. I couldn't find it. I was crying. I couldn't find my card. I mean, this is how frustrated I am, and I'm so not like this at all. Usually I bounce back, something bothers me, no problem, but it was the entire week, every day, getting deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole, and I'm not out of it yet. So you're going to keep hearing from me.
Well, fortunately for me, the moon's going to keep moving, and you're not going to stay there because we're not going to stay there as human beings. The reason why despair can really grip an eco is an eco employs what's called pathos to the way that they travel through their life experience, where if you go around the horn, and we haven't really done that yet, but philos go by eros. They're guided by love, the biological layer of love, not so much the greeting card version. They get to that later, and we heard from what we heard how bad it can get when Liz was talking. But eros is the way that they guide themselves. And then an onto, it's all ethics. It's ethos. What are the rules? You know, and they basically guide their life in an ethical way. That's the way they feel that their truth comes to the surface. Ecos, it's all pathos. It's all the suffering. It's all the garbage. It's all the things that most of us throw away. We like the parsley. We eat everything. We eat the parsley, the plate, the napkin, the freaking tablecloth. So we have to experience everything fully. We like the raw form. We like the wave file. We don't want it compressed. We want the whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's like, you know, that whole thing about your eyes and your teeth and all that stuff. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach, kind of, with that kind of thing. Ecos will emotionally bite off more than they can chew, get indigestion, and blame the cook.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. Just like a kid will overeat, a three-year-old kid will overeat, and then complain of the tummy ache. Think of the kid, the three-year-old kid on the sugar rush. You know, they get the high, and then they run into a tree or something. It's like, It's a pathologic. They follow a pathologic to a certain point, and then they fall off the cliff. And then when you get finally to EXO and you're outside of that coil and you can actually be in the present moment, remember prior moments and plan future ones, you function on a cosmos scale. You function outside of the grip of the earth and society. That's why EXOs do things that make no sense to anybody else.
So cosmos is the path. That's not.
Their guiding force is universal principles. An exo
cosmos versus pathos and ethos and eros.
Yeah, where an anta will go on ethics and what the rules are, man to man, go by man's law.
Mm-hmm.
The exo goes on natural law, what the law of the universe is, and they don't care. They don't care if it goes against whatever the laws of the land are. That's why they seem so alien sometimes, because they just don't get hooked in like we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's why when things happen, especially a crisis, you turn to the exo because they're not panicked. They go,
yeah,
well,
that's true. And you know, I start to get like kind of annoyed because here's
mm-hmm.
Rick and he's
calm.
You
want a reaction, yeah.
He's calm and no problem. The only time that he's reacted through this whole thing really that I could visibly see, because I'm sure he keeps stuff in, was today when I was looking for the card and I couldn't find it and I started crying and he's like, oh, and he came over and philoed me. So that was... He probably couldn't wait for me to get back out of the house, back into the car to go see the stupid house we were going to see today. But
Yeah, well, that, again,
oh,
I just had a couple here today that was Anto and Exo, and I was just trying to explain the difference to the Anto, who was the husband. I said, you're goal-oriented, she's task-oriented. It's a different animal. You want to achieve something, she just wants to do what comes next. There is no end of the line. There's just the next task, and so task done, next task. So it's being efficient as opposed to being effective, and that's sort of the very, very slight distinction between Anto's and Exo's on that level, and that's why when you're dealing with things that are emotional, you're going to get almost nothing out of an Exo, and you're going to get, you know, hell or have no fury out of the Anto, because they're going on that ethical thing. Someone broke a rule, and they're judge and jury at that point. They've got you. You know, and it's like that's why when an eco is confronted with those two environments, they're going to go, and this is why the desert of despair is so deep for an eco, they're going to go underneath, and they're going to go back to their file of vulnerability and go more external and get all this stuff out from the core, because that gets them some support. I hurt. You know, it's tough. Like, when you stub your toe, everyone knows you stub your toe. But when you do something like that emotionally, it's an internal hit. No one sees it. It doesn't leave a bruise, but it leaves you that emptiness and that despair. That's that pit of the stomach thing. And usually what it means for an eco is that they've been taken advantage of. That's what they feel the most, because they opened themselves up and they got bopped in the gut again. It's basically like getting the wind knocked out of you, just punching the solar plexus.
Uh-huh.
You know what's interesting? It just kind of hit me when you guys were talking about, you know, despair and hope is that it's really a good example, because you talk about, you know, a philo being stuck where everything is the end of the world when you're a philo. Everything's hope and despair. It goes to show you with the whole point of this, all this work is to open people up so they're not stuck in that one domain, because you can't be in one domain all the time and really function out of coherence all the time. You can't do that. I mean, you could, well, if you're always Anto and you're always staying in that state that gives you coherence as an Anto, you may be coherent just only in that state, but you're going to be such an asshole. Oops, can we say that?
Yeah, sure we can.
Why not? Yeah. Who's going to stop them?
You can't deal with anybody. So, and same way, if you're a philo, you're so needy as a philo all the time that, you know, then people just want to kick you in the teeth more. And so an eco then becomes so subversive all the time that you just can't be around them. And an exo, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what, if I guess if they're so exo,
they just get ostracized and forgotten about because they don't interact. I mean, they basically just become part of the woodwork. You know, their punishment is that they don't count. They become basically a non sequitur. And that's why any of these domains, I call it domain, you know, it's like I used to call it dysfunctional dominance, when someone's so right-handed that they give themselves scoliosis because they don't use their non-dominant hand for any activity, so they rotate their whole spine around, my old chiropractic background. It's the same thing with domain dysfunction. When you're only functioning in your primary domain, you're a saber-toothed tiger. When the environment changes and you don't, incoherence is the result. You can't entrain, and you can't even get what that domain is trying to give you for co-creativity, because you're so far to one side. It's like, you know, all the noise is coming out of one speaker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. We got a couple callers here. Let's see if we can get them in here for the top of the hour. All right, you're on the air with Naked Summer. What do you got? Hello? Anybody there? We need a Twilight Zone music for this.
I probably have.
Can you hear us?
I try the next one.
All right, try next week. See ya. I like hanging up.
Hear me?
Okay, probably way too much. Okay, you're on the air with Naked Summer.
Can you hear me?
There.
Yep.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Lindsay. I'm a first-time caller, a long-time listener. I really just wanted to know where the Anto fits in here.
Sure.
Lindsay.
Sure. Well, we don't have an Anto handy. We just got two ecos in the philo. But the Anto, basically, we talked about that the prior two shows where we were in that phase of the moon. The Anto, like I said before, as far as dealing with despair or any type of negative emotion, anger is their shield. It's going to be the thing that separates them from other people, is that some rule has been violated either in the past or right in front of them. And anger is the way that they're going to deal with it, because it gets them physiologically charged up. It makes them feel safe. Because when I'm angry, boy, I'm tight, I can actually control my environment again. Even if I've lost control, at least I can exert control on what I lost control on. I can get angry at it. And so almost to you know, across the board, 80% of the time, that's going to be their first move. If anger doesn't work, they leave. They go destroy something in another room. okay? Because they have to take it out. They have to displace. Everything with Antos is displacing. Think of a two-year-old throwing a tantrum. If they can't get their way, what do? They slam something, they throw something, they break something, right?
I know.
They have to emotionally displace that energy, and that's why for an Anto, it's almost like it happens too close to the farm. It disturbs their, you have disturbed the peace within me. So it's almost like, you know, waking up a pit bull. You better run. you know, that's how it fits in. And that's why it's like if you don't do that, then over time what you learn is you got to live with that conflict because they will never get tired of doing that. An Anto never gets tired of... No. They never get tired of confrontation. They never get tired of getting angry. They never get tired of enforcing the rules. That's their job. You think that
sounds
just
like
you have,
like, you know, sounds like you have some personal experience.
Personal experience? I have some impersonal experience this year. It's hilarious because even when they know they're wrong, they're still mad. It isn't like they can go like throw up their hand and go, okay, you got me. They never surrender. So it's like, you know, that's for some reason, it's almost like, think of what happens between a baby and a one-year-old, all the neurological changes that go on, to give them that freedom so they don't feel vulnerable anymore. The last thing they want to feel is vulnerable again. It's like a step back to them. So you can go, you know, a filer with 50, and they don't, that same feeling of a one-year-old going backwards and regressing, they don't want to go back to the land where they couldn't control anything. They like being the one-year-old that can... You know, run free and be that terrible too. You know, all the way till they're 3 years old, and they start to go, wow, the world is bigger than my living room. You know, and they start to get into the eco realm. So that's where the Anto fits in. The Exo is the only one that's really kind of fundamentally different in their orientation because they have a complex system that can actually relate past, present, and future events, and that's why they're not as somatic. They're exosomatic. They're more in the cognitive realm. Their feelings well up from the inside and completely match the image on the outside. It's the WYSIWYG level. So there is no interiority to the Exo, where Anto and Eco is completely internal. Philo is all about, what am I touching now? What am I touching now? What am I in contact with now? They're like mood rings in that sense. So hope that answers your question.
Thanks. That was wonderful. Sure. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye, Lindsay.
Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, wherever that came from. All right, so we are wrapping up. I am still searching, spelunking for this video, but I wanted to go over this this California man who was accused of being overly affectionate on a passenger plane.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
Raleigh bound. I don't know if there's been a follow-up to this since May 4th, but this is so... Oh, the charges were dropped this week, it says. Look at that.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's
so this
cool.
is what happened to this. This is a story that only could happen to an Eco, okay? This is so classic. All right? He's on a plane. I don't even know where he was flying from, but basically he was facing 20 years in prison, right, for the following. A criminal complaint. His girlfriend and him were seen embracing, kissing, and acting in a manner that made other passengers uncomfortable during a flight. The prosecutor said that he was told twice to stop. He said no. And he was also mad because the flight attendant refused to serve them alcohol. So
he blows all right. He blows big time.
Basically, the charges were dropped, but he was going to face 20 years.
Imagine that.
For that. Yes. Only an Eco can get in that much trouble for being overly affectionate. I love this last line. Making the other passengers uncomfortable during the flight.
That's his job description.
Yes, Ecos have a little trouble with boundaries. Let's just call it that in a general sense and leave it there.
I love the line, too, where it says, you know, the flight attendant asked him to stop. He said no, you know, like
Right. Yeah, and then he wanted alcohol on top of it, yeah. Pretty funny.
And then he was probably surprised. He still couldn't figure it out, you know.
Why am I in trouble? What's the matter?
What's
the
problem?
What are you mad at me for? All right, my search in vain for the it's on Pentagraph. If you can go there and find it for me.
Let me see.
It's an interview with these two Ecos. I just wanted to play it. It's quick, but it's a great example.
What are they doing?
They're
like
talking about the wreckage. It was happening a day or so after the
the accident there, or the tornado.
Let's see. Oh, the dog is growling at the cat. Here we go. Let's see.
So I'm walking out of my office today, and this eco grabs me. He's walking out of the Macintosh store. He grabs me. He's like, "Hey, man, are you a chiropractor?" And I'm like, and he's got his, he's this probably, you know, 65-year-old guy. He's got his tight biking shorts on, his tie-dye shirt, his little puka shell necklace, his, you know, shaved head, and his, he starts telling me his whole thing about Epstein-Barr and fiber. I get the whole, I got Kelly and Greta with me. I'm trying to get in my car.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like 80 degrees. They got bare feet. I'm, you know, I'm trying to get them out to lunch. I got like 45 minutes. And I get his whole history from the door of my office building, 5-minute walk across the parking lot. I get taken to his car to show me how he's taken the bike out of his back seat, how he hurts his back in the first place, the whole history of his back pain. And then he sees that Kelly and Greta are getting antsy, so he's like, okay, you can go. So he doesn't. So he walks over to my car with me, and now he's practically in my passenger seat finishing the story. It was, and I just want to take a picture of him and put it on the website because he was.
He's
coming
domain,
in.
But, what would be his domain, by the way?
Oh, he was eco all the way.
Mm-hmm. Completely oblivious to the people around him. get his point across.
He was. I mean, he should have been. He could be poster boy for this week. It was such a classic. It was just. I mean, I was laughing. I was sitting there. I couldn't even get mad at him because I'm like, oh my God, you are just, you know, yeah.
Well, the rest of society looks at ecos as, with the same level of, are you kidding me? You know, we're over the top to everybody else, and of course to the eco, the rest of the world is just stupid.
Right.
Why don't they understand me? Because again, we have to get across the two people we don't want to talk to. The ones that are the rule followers, the philos, who never question the authority, and the cops. That's all we see.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scary. Well, while I search for this, because we've got a couple minutes here. Oh, the bee countdown. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's an activist who's working on something that Val shared with me.
Yes. Oh, no.
Over in Austria, I don't know if it's at the point of being a trial yet, but... they're trying to basically get a 26-year-old male chimpanzee to be declared a person by an animal rights advocacy group. Okay? So dig this. Organizers set up a foundation to collect cash for Hazal, whose life expectancy is about 60 years. Without basic rights, he could be sold outside Austria, where the chimp is not protected by these animal cruelty laws. So they're trying to protect the chimp. Hard to believe, but not really, but... Chimps, the argument is this. This is an eco-argument. Chimps share 99.4% of the DNA with humans. Okay, they're not homo sapiens, but they're obviously not things. The only other option, it's the only other option the law provides. You know, so I'm not about to make myself look like a fool, but for the most part, they're not bricks, apples, or potatoes. There's the eco-argument.
How come that never works when I do stuff like that with my mom?
What, to try to make that distinction?
Yeah, that kind of a thing. That never works with her.
The name game doesn't work with Antos for the most part.
No.
Whatever they name it is what it is, and it's pretty
mm-hmm.
much it. So I'm sorry I couldn't find this. I will if I find it, I will post it on the web, on the blog. But it oh, wait a minute. Oop, I just had it. Oh, that woman survived shark attack. That's even more interesting. I guess it's time for this. Let's see. Click on it. Lindsay Lohan walking the red carpet. This is hours of fun on this site. So we did pretty good for the first hour. We didn't crash the bus too bad.
No, not yet. We still have a few minutes to do it.
Yeah. And this thing's loading. All right, let me see. AP video.
Two ecos and a philo sitting there watching. Watch us go off the cliff.
Every week, yeah. I know it's going to play some stupid commercial now and make me mad, but I just want to...
Holy caffeine!
All right, so it's playing its dopey commercial for 20 seconds. We got about a minute, so it should be a perfect way to go out. A woman survives a shark attack. There's another eco moment. Let's see. Come on. Stupid Dell has to have another commercial. Here we go. Very nice, very nice. All right, here we go. 63-year-old woman in Hawaii, ladies and gentlemen.
It just was like that. It really frightened me. I felt something clench onto this foot, and the first thing I saw was my new flippers from Maui Dive Shop. My new flipper popped.
Typical. Not loading right.
Just kind of pulled myself together and head toward shore. It looked like a big shark to me. Somebody said 14 feet.
People were kind of excited to get back in, to be honest with you. They wanted to get back in the water.
It happens once in a great while, and you stay with a group.
There you go. She gets bit, her foot gets bit off, and everyone goes back in the water. There's a way you sum up the show. So
her first thought was, oh, there goes my new fins.
Yeah, she's thinking about the thing she bought. It's a typical eco.
Mm-hmm.
So
we better sign off now because I believe we have been signed
up. That brings us to a crushing halt because, yes, we don't want to violate the live help here on the line here.
But don't worry,
so
they shut us off.
Thanks for joining us again. Next week we'll be back. The number again was 646-478-4847. Visit us on nakedsoma.com. We'll be back again next week at 8 o'clock.
Unless our account's been canceled.
That's right. Yes, right. Travel light through the darkness. See you next week.
See you, mate.
All right. There we go.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
Beautiful.
We're done? We're out?
I believe so, because Allison was listening, and right at 9 o'clock, they shut us down.
Okay, well, then there you go. You're on for an hour, you're out.
Yep.
I wonder how difficult that was. So,
yeah,
okay.
Gina said good show.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Let me call you back on the landline. Bye.
Okay, bye.